Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. This will be Chapter 2, Explaining Charge and Magnetism and the subtle effects that decide how matter interacts with force. So, as discussed in Chapter 1, it's all about momentum. Matter and force interacting, creating motion in the universe, but the motion does have a subtle catch to it, and that's what makes everything so complex, or the capacity for things to become complex. So as explained, there's two kinds of elements in the universe. Oh, well, that's not too brilliant, but it'll have to do. We have matter, and we have force, and I could illustrate them in different ways, but I think I'll choose a better color yeah, for the contrast. I'll be back. Alright, so as explained in Chapter 1, the matter doesn't have any energy or anything of its own. It doesn't move. And the only way it does move is that force, moving the speed of light, interacts with the matter, and the two of them as a combined entity move. And I've explained the rules for that motion. Now, the catch is that there are, in fact, two kinds of force and two kinds of matter. So that fits with, you know, much of what's been learned over the past 200 or 300 years about the existence of something called an electron and something called a proton. So the two what are identified as plus and minus, which is inaccurate. It should be the other way around, but physics never fixed that. Because electricity works, if you understand the electron as being the element that's being added and subtracted. So the two kinds of force and the two kinds of matter do just something simple. They oppositely interact with each other. So the simple rule is that if an electron is hit by a piece of electron force, the electron is given momentum. The electron force sticks to the piece of matter, and the combined entity moves off with something less than the original speed of the force bit. So the force bit moves at the speed of light, and it will move at less than the speed of light when it's pushing a piece of matter. And the same goes for the proton. So when the proton's hit by the proton force, it is given momentum. Now, when the opposite force hits, so when a piece of proton force... hits an electron, it just passes through the electron with the catch, okay, that its identity is switched to being now a piece of proton force. So the electron doesn't move, and the proton force is converted into an electron force. Now, with those simple rules, so we'll just go over it one more time. So there's two kinds of matter, two kinds of force. They act inversely to each other. So the same rules that apply for both of them. And the rule is basically when the same force hits the same charge of object, so the same charged force, you could say, there's momentum acquired. And when the opposite force hits, there's no momentum, and the force changes to the same force as the object. So what this ends up creating in a universe where there is, an almost infinite supply of energy moving through the universe, that is, there's little pieces of force of both varieties traveling through the universe in all directions at all times. And the only thing that changes that force is its interaction with matter, in terms of creating variations in what you're going to get hit by. So if you're by some matter, the matter is going to change what kind of force is going to hit you. If there's no matter, you get hit with a certain kind of universe. If there is matter, it's going to change what you get hit by. So what this ends up with is a circumstance where all of the electrons are being hit by the forces of both variety. And you can understand that when the proton force goes in, it comes out as a electron force. So even though mixed force goes into an electron, okay, black and red, what comes out is always red. So you could understand that its equilibrium state with the universe is to be just radiating proton force constantly. And the electron, well, this is really the proton over here, is doing exactly the opposite. So it's constantly just radiating one color. Anything goes in red comes out black. And so then you create exactly what Maxwell described as charges, proton and electron. And they have exactly opposite properties. So if they're shooting force at each other, you can understand that anything, it's only this proton can only excrete, okay, no matter what goes in, the only thing it's going to excrete is the proton force. And you know that the electron finds that meaningless, so it gains no momentum from it. It's not a pushing force as far as it's concerned, and that it's just going to convert it into its own force. So it's going to give it more charge, in a sense, the proton force, but it's not going to cause it to move. And the vice versa, the electron doesn't apply any pressure to the proton. So you can clearly understand why, if the only thing that can give the proton momentum is a black object, and the only thing that can give the electron momentum is a red object, you can understand that all the black and red hitting from these other two sides are going to push these two objects into each other. That there's going to be essentially a pressure vacuum between them, in the sense that nothing can push the electron from this point of view. From the point of view of the proton, it can't see any pushing force. And from all other directions, of course, it's going to see lots of pushing force. So its net product of those interactions is going to be momentum towards each other. Both objects are going to move towards each other because there's going to be nothing giving them momentum coming from the direction of the other object. And obviously, if I put two electrons in proximity to each other, you could understand that they are creating pushing force, and that everything that goes in comes out red. So every red that goes through turns into a pushing force. So now all the energy is now being converted into a repulsive force, essentially. So now they have double pressure between them. They're going to see twice as much pushing energy from the perspective of the other electron. The other electron is going to be sending twice as many momentum bits, because the half that weren't momentum bits, the half that were not electron bits and couldn't give it momentum, have now been converted into momentum-giving bits, as far as the electron's concerned, and the two, well, the proton, doesn't really matter for the sake of this argument. So obviously protons repel protons strongly, electrons repel electrons strongly, and they strongly attract to each other. And that's the element of charge. So that's what Maxwell says is the end effect, is you have two objects that radiate a pressure, essentially, and that the two pressures have inverse effects on each other. And so we'll erase and say it again. All right, so these simple rules, 2 + 2 + 2 physics, two kinds of force, moving the speed of light, two kinds of matter, electrons and protons, plus and minus. Let's be consistent, plus and minus for the electrons. and two kinds of interactions. One when you have momentum, you create momentum, and one where you change the character of the momentum-causing force. So that's it, just simple. And all of physics, everything that happens can be understood by just recognizing where's the force, what force is it, what piece of matter is it, and that'll tell you what the next event's going to be in the universe, essentially. All the mechanisms that happen, all the phenomenon is based on this. So you could sort of understand that obviously if I did put a proton and an electron very close to each other, called a neutron, actually. That composite object, you could call it charge neutral, and especially from a distance, you can imagine if it is really radiating color, if actual color, I'm just using color as an example of showing that it's some subtle difference. These could be triangle, square. This could be any two things that are distinctly different, that can be identified as differences. It's not really about color. But regardless, you can understand if I did use color, and this was blue instead of black, you can understand that one object's producing one color, another one's producing the other color, and when from a distance, they would just mix and you'd see purple. So yes, a neutron looks neutral, but it's actually the smallest dipole. And so a dipole would be recognizing that you just have one end that looks blue, or red in this case, right? The side looks red from this direction, from looking at it from this direction. Obviously from this direction it would look black, and from the other sides it would look brown or whatever. Where the colors mix. And so polarity, this is the foundation of building atoms and then creating other objects that have these features of being charged. And being charged just means that there you have this polarity somewhere in your shape. Parts of you might look neutral. From one perspective, this is a neutral object. From another perspective, it's decidedly positive. From another perspective, it's decidedly negative. And basically all of the chemistry, the atomic interactions, just have to do with how different molecules see each other based on what perspective they have, based on what direction they exist in the three-dimensional space around this polarized object. And that's all of the dynamics that create all of the interactions of chemistry and the atomic combining and all the rest of it. And you could sort of understand that it's also pretty close to a diagram of a magnet. That a magnet's the plus and minus is a similar concept to the north and south configuration of a magnet. And that the two really are a reflection of the same thing. It's just manifested in a little different way. It's a little more complicated than the simple explanation. So the magnetic field, to give you a preview of coming attractions, what could be understood as just being a bullseye argument that one side, they're both sides are creating a mixture of force. One side's creating it with the red in the center, and the other side's creating it with the black in the center. So it's two different bullseyes, you could argue, you know, where one side has the black in the middle, and one side is producing the opposite. And the same rules of interaction would exist, where the ones that have the opposite pattern would attract, and the ones that have the same pattern would repel. So I think that's enough of that. So maybe that's enough. It's really this simple. So anything that all the experiments, all the physical interactions of matter can all be understood with just the simple concept that there are these two different objects, material objects. They're going to gain speed and configuration with each other based on, position and based on what happens to the force between them. and that, you know, these two simple interactions provide more than enough change to create all of the different things we see, which are just based on those. Like I said, magnetism is just, it's the same mechanism, just in a subtly different form. And I would argue that things like photons are just this, the electron force, and because electrons are on the outside of atoms, so I guess I should save that, but it's just a point to be made, is that you can understand all of these different things moving the speed of light are all forces. Photons are really a force, and the force pushes electrons. And in doing that, in moving electrons or giving electrons momentum in atoms, the electrons can push pressure towards each other. So if you understand that the electrons don't like each other rather intensely, that whenever one moves closer to another one, what's going to be conveyed between them is the force moving the speed of light, and it's going to change the pressure between the electrons, and so whatever electron A does, electron B is going to feel it. All right, so I think we'll just leave it there and move on to chapter 3, which will be an explanation of how this simple model creates atoms and how the atoms then create chemistry. So, yeah, that's enough. So this has been chapter 2, and so till the draft book 1. So there's going to be 2 books, one book explaining how this is the physics, this is how it works, and the other book will explain how just about everything conventional physics says is nonsense. And shouldn't be taken seriously because it really doesn't fit the evidence. So, till the next time it's such, this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. And such.